Bokeh Tov, world. Today's daf in Masechet Zvachim, brought to you from Yerushalayim Ir HaKodesh, is a daf Samach Zayin. We are up to the Mishnah on Samach Vov Amud Beis, and we are continuing actually the previous Mishnah. And in the previous Mishnah, you will recall that we had it set up that first we stated all of the proper things to do, first for Chatas, and then for the Eila, and then we listed all of the variations that you could do in order. So we had three parameters that we needed to consider. Parameter A was where on the Mizbeach was it done? So that's the Makom. Parameter B was what type of Avodah did you do with it? Did you do a Maisa Chatas or did you do a Maisa Eila? Now that consisted of two different parts. It might be a change in the Malika and it might be a change in the Mitzui or the Hazoya. And then the third parameter was your Machshava. Now we went through all of the possible variations, which ones are kosher, which ones are pasul, in order. So we changed the place, and then we changed the what you did, and then we changed the machshava of what you did. And that, when we finish that, we now come to this Mishnah, and remember that we had there one shita that said that it's possible, we had introduced really this Mishnah when we discussed it, that once you change an Eila Sa'of, and you do the Eila Sa'of, you change everything. You change where you did it, you changed what you did to it, and you changed the machshava, and you thought it was a chatas, then what we understood was that according to Rabbi Yoshua, it actually becomes a chatas. Now, right now, at the beginning of the Mishnah, here is the Mishnah that we're going to discuss, those shitas. We don't know what the logic of Rabbi Yoshua's position is, and therefore it's going to take us some time in the conversations back and forth between Rabbi Eliezer and Rabbi Yoshua to try to understand what the underlying logic is of Rabbi Yoshua. So even though we peeked ahead yesterday, that was a spoiler. But to understand the Mishnah properly, we got to wipe that out, pretend you don't know anything. And now you have no idea whether it was the butler in the library. And remember, you've got all of those variables with the knife, or it might have been anything else. So let's go ahead and see. Says the Halakha Mishnah, V'chulan, ein mitam'in bevet ha'bliya. So even though we've got all of these lists of birds that we messed up, and generally speaking, if you messed up a shrita, it would of course be an avela. And if you mess up a malika, it should also be an avela. But you didn't mess it up in terms of the maisa of the malika. You messed up the kashrus of the korban, but the maisa malika was a proper malika. It's not as if you did the malika wrong in the sense of having done it in the wrong place. You went in from the front of the neck or anything like that. So in all of these cases, the malika actually is metaher midei nevela. In the same way that, let's say, if you would shecht an animal that is a trefa, you would be metaheret midei nevela, even though it's not kosher to eat. Same thing is true over here. Even though the korban is not kosher to bring and it's not kosher to eat, but nonetheless, it's metaheret midei nevela. So, kulane metame bibeta blia. And of course, the only way that you can be metame as an olas of, I'm sorry, as any kind of oaf, which is tohar, the only way that it can be metame is by swallowing it, because it doesn't have a tumas maga and it doesn't have a tumas masa. But in this case, it is not mitame bebet ha'bliya. And in all of these cases, since the korban never became kosher for achilas adam, the original kachim kachim kedusha that was put on it remains on it, because that only falls off once it's either naset mitzvato or it becomes kosher for achila. And therefore, since over here that's not what happened, it remains an iser of me'ila, and you'd have to bring a korban me'ila. There's only one case where that's not true, and that's the case of the chatas that you did properly. So if you did a chatas of, And you did it lamata, the way you're supposed to be doing it. And you did it with all of the maise chatas, the way you're supposed to be doing it. And you did it l'shem chatas, the way you're supposed to be thinking. So those are all of the four variables. What we're talking about is, the three elements of how you're supposed to handle it. So the chatas, the place of the chatas, the act of the chatas, the machshov of the chatas, the 100% kosher chatas, that is the only case where there won't be me'ila anymore. Why? Because now it's kosher for the kohen to eat. Once we take it off of its din of iser, and it's actually kosher, so at that point, there's no more me'ila. But if the case of the oila, where you did the oila wrong, where you did the oila 100% right, it still would be me'ila, because an oila, of course, never loses its me'ila until it's completely burned on the mizbeach, because you're never matir it for achilas adam. Now, what about the case of the ola ta'of? You changed all three parameters. It was an oila, but you changed the place. You did it on the bottom. You changed what you did. Now, I'm not quite sure what that means, because remember, we talked yesterday about changing what you did could mean you changed the malika, or it means you changed it to become mitzvah. So yesterday we learned that even if you do the malika as a chatas, it would still, in this case, it would make the oila pasal. And Rebbe Eliezer says, okay, so because of that, you would be mayo on it, because why wouldn't you be? You never took off the kedusha of it to take away the me'ila. It never became muta for anybody, so it would still be me'ila. Whereas Rabbi Yeshua says, nope, you're not mailing it. Now, as I said, the spoiler is that we looked ahead yesterday and we found out the real reason why Rabbi Yeshua said what he said. And it's because he holds a very dramatic din, which never occurred to Rabbi Eliezer, that that's what Rabbi Yeshua holds. But actually, Rabbi Yeshua holds that when you change all the parameters, you actually turn it into a chatas. And once you turn it into a chatas, now it becomes kosher. And therefore, there's no me'ila anymore, because the chatas is allowed to be eaten by the kohen, and therefore it's no longer miyuchad as kodshei Hashem. But Rabbi Eliezer didn't know that. So Rabbi Eliezer, he starts arguing with Rabbi Yeshua based on the svaras without taking any of that into consideration at all. So he thought that there was a completely different issue, and that Rabbi Yeshua was basically saying that, look, the oila, once it becomes chayav to me'ila, as long as you don't do anything to change that kedusha, but suppose you do change it, and you say, I'm bringing this l'shem chatas, so then that is basically enough to say that it's not really a oila the way it was set aside to be, and taking away that kedusha is enough to take away the me'ila, because me'ila has to be roi for its kedusha. That's what he thought the svara was. He didn't realize that Rabbi Yeshua was saying you turn the oila into a kosher chatas. So because of that, he argues, and he says, does that make any sense? Uma im chatat she'in mo'alim ba'lishma. A chatas, even if you bring it correctly, you're not going to be mo'al on it, because it becomes kosher for the kohen. Kishesh shina et shema. But the moment that you bring it shelo lishma, and you say, let it be an oila, the din is that you are mo'al on it. Why? Because at that point, you never take off the kodshei kodashim status of it. And since you said shelo lishma, it's no longer kosher, and therefore the kohen can't eat it. So making something not kosher, even if it's something that would not have had me'ila if it were kosher, is not enough to change it to take off its me'ila. So it's ridiculous to say the oila that I changed it, and I tried to go ahead and call it a chatas, if I would have had the oila, and I would have been mo'al on it if I did it right. So kosher king, I do it wrong. I'm not making it any better in terms of me'ila. For sure, I should have me'ila. So again, this is a very logical argument, if all that Rabbi Yeshua was trying to say was that Well, by taking away its Kedushas Eila and saying it's a Chatas, it's no longer the Kodesh Kedoshim that it was, that's ridiculous, because we see over here that the opposite is true. But Rabbi Yehoshua, he argues through the logic that Rabbi Eliezer is bringing, and he does not expose his underlying approach to this. He attacks Rabbi Eliezer with each level of Rabbi Eliezer's attack on him. So we often find this in terms of the brilliant battles of the Milchamta Shel Torah, that we just fight our way through until we get to Touche. Omar lo, Rabbi Yehoshua, why? You can't bring me a raya from there. Lo, imamarta bechatat, sheshinat shma l'shem olah. Yes, of course, in the case of the chatas. You turn it into an oilah. You're 100% right. The reason that that is actually chayav me'ilah is because the thing that you tried turning it into was what? Was something that is chayav in me'ilah when it's brought correctly. Masha Inka, in the case of the oilah, where you turned it into a shem chatas over there, you were turning it into a kedusha that would not have me'ilah. So what kind of crazy argument is that? And I'm saying, I mean, I'm not really saying that, but you think I'm saying that since I turned this into a non-Eila Kedusha, it no longer has the Kedusha's Eila, but that's because what I turned it into, I said it's something that doesn't have Me'ila. So I would agree with your other case. Said Rebbe Eliezer, okay, I'll bring you another Raya that it makes no sense. Let's imagine a case where you have Kutche Kutchen, but you did the shechita of this kachim kachim, you did it in the Doray. And you had in mind that it was kachim kalim. You thought it was a shlomi. Now, in that case, you turned it, you were trying to turn it into kachim kalim. You want to turn it into a shlomi. Shlomi doesn't have me'ila because it's kosher for Kohen to eat. Nonetheless, the din over there is that you are me'olim on it. And when you shechted the chatas in the Doray, it became pasul, and therefore the zrika wasn't matir adam for the kohanim, and because of that, it remains kodshei Hashem. Kodshei Hashem is chayev in me'ila. So if that's the case, the same thing should be true over here. What's so crazy? Afata altatame. What are you saying? Well, I can't believe it. Of course it would be. It's the same thing. Even though you changed the shame of the eila to something that does not have me'ila, that's the same as changing kachim kachim to kachim kalim. And therefore, you would be chayav me'ilah. I don't understand why you refuse to understand that you are chayav me'ilah. Said Rabbi Yeshua, that's not an argument. Lo imamarta bekachim kachim sheshachta bedorayim, v'shachtan l'shem kachim kalim. In that case, the reason that you're chayav for me'ilah is because when you turned it into kachim kalim with your thought, you think that's what's going on over here. You give it some of the dinim of kachim kalim. But remember, kachim kalim are not non-mi'ila issues. There's parts of kachim kalim that you are mo'ilin, namely the emurim, and there's parts of kachim kalim that you're not mo'ilin, namely the basar. So over there, you're changing it to something that has both iser and heter. If you take an olas ha'of, and you turn it into a chatas ha'of by just saying it's a chatas ha'of, you are attempting to change it to something that has no me'ila whatsoever, because the chatas, remember, of an oaf, as opposed to the chatas of a behema, is entirely not brought on the mizbeach, right? So if it's not brought on the Mizbeach, and it's meant to be eaten by the Kohanim, so then that takes off its shame of Me'ilah. So how does that prove? When you try to make something into a Shlomim, you can't say, well, if it's a Shlomim, there's no Me'ilah. That's not true. If it's a Shlomim, there's the Emurim that are Me'ilah. But a Chatas Ha'of doesn't have any Emurim. It's the only thing that we put on the Mizbeach that doesn't have anything but Dam, remember? So therefore, I am justified. Not that that's really my logic. But therefore, I am justified in ignoring your kavachomer or your mamatzino over here. Toma ba'ola sheshina et shema. the Devosha Kula Heter, because the Chatas Ha'of is Kula Heter. It's entirely meant for Kohanim. Now, the Maisa, the Braita, is now going to tell us that there was more to this argument than we actually wrote down in the Mishnah. And it adds the following conversation. So Rabbi Eliezer came back and said to Rabbi Yoshua, well, how about this case? Let's take an asham, which is kachi kachi. You shechted it with safin, and you shechted it l'shem shlomim, but in the correct place, okay? Now, the din over there is that I think it's the same as doing something that passes it, like, let's say, the over here, there you were Mishana et Shmo, and you were Moalimbo. So, you see, changing the name of something doesn't take off me either. So, Afata Altitmala Ola, you changed its name. Changing the name doesn't change anything. Afal Pisha Shina et Shma, you'd still have to be Maya. Omalo Reb Yeshua, now wait a minute. Remember that there are other parameters that need changing. I mean, in that case, the Asham, all you did was change what its name is. That's parameter one, which we call parameter three up until now. You didn't change the place where you brought it. That's parameter one. So you can't prove from there anything because you didn't really change it to anything else completely. But in my case, I'm talking about the Ola where you changed not only what you said it was, but you also changed the place. Okay, says Rebbe Eliezer. So then let's change the place. Take the same Asham, shecht it in the south where you did change the place, and then change its name, L'shem Shlomim. And the din over there is, now I'm meeting your standards, you're Mishana Shmo, you're Mishana Mikomo, and the din is just still Moel. So why is this case any different? Afata altitma ala ola, sha'afa pishishinat shema, vishinat mikoma, moalimba, says Rabbi Yoshua. Ah, but you forgot. There are three parameters, my dear friend. And over here, you only changed two out of the three. I was talking about the case where you changed the place, you changed the way it was done, the maisa, you did a maisa chatas to the ayla, and you also changed the shame. And you bring me an argument from the case of the asham, where you changed its name, you called it shlomim, and you changed its place because you went to the dorim, but you didn't change any maisa. The maisa of the akrava is the same. It's the same Zerika, so therefore you can't bring me a raya from there. So you see, this is like fishing, you know, you're playing your fish. It's really so cute to watch. You know exactly what's going on. You're trying to bring in Rabbi Yeshua. I mean, Rabbi Yeshua is trying to bring in Rabbi Eliezer until he finally gets him into recognizing all of the parameters and then saying, okay, but that's not what I was thinking anyway, ha ha. And then you grab him with a net and you just take him out of the water, right? So it's a very cute fishing game over here. So Rabbi Yeshua says to him, well, I mean, over there you only changed the shame and the mokum, but you didn't go shinat ma'asav. I'm talking about the case of the Ayla where you changed not only the shame and you changed not only the mokum, but you also changed the ma'aseh, that ma'aseh, v'shinat mikoma. Oba Rava, now, why exact? Now, the correct gears over here seems to be Ishtik Rabbi Eliezer and Oma Rava, why am I Ishtik? Okay. Why did Rabbi Eliezer not say anything? He could have answered him and he could have said, look, let's throw in an extra psul in the Maisa. Let's say the case would be that it was an asham, where you were Mishana the Mokon, and you did it Bedorim, and you were Mishana the Shame, it was L'Shem Shlomim, and we'll add a third thing that was done wrong. You did it also B'Shinui Ba'alim, you did it for someone else. That's sort of the same thing. Obviously, it isn't really, because we were talking about those specific parameters of Maisa, not just that there's an additional psul. And he could have said that over there, it would be Shinat Shemo, Shinat Mekomo, and by doing the Shinui Bailim, it's the equivalent of Shinat Ma'asav. So look, since Reb Eliezer did not attempt any further argument, it must be that at that point, as they say in Eretz Yisrael, Yorad lo ha'asimon, all of a sudden, Reb Eliezer realized, oh my God, he's been playing games with me. So the real reason is that he's trying to say that in changing those parameters with an actual Shinui Maisa as being one of the parameters, you've actually turned it into a real chatas. That's what he's saying. Oh my gosh, I never thought of that. So apparently, at that moment, Nachit Rebbe Eliezer, the time of the Rebbe Yeshua, it suddenly registered what he was really saying. And that was what Rav Ada Bar Ava explained. The Omer Rav Ada Bar Ava, you know what Rebbe Yeshua is basically saying over here? The Omer Haya Rebbe Yeshua, an Ola Ta'of, that was done lamata from the Chutas Sikra, and it was done with the same actions, the same aveda, as if it were a chatas, kemaisa chatas, and it was done with the machshava that this is a chatas. The moment that you do the first half of the malika, meaning the first simon of the malika, at that moment it becomes a chatas off. You've done everything to it that could possibly be a chatas ha'of. And at that moment, it becomes a kosher chatas ha'of. So wait, so why wouldn't it work in the other direction also then, if that's the logic? So why don't we say that a chatas ha'of that's done lamala, so you change the parameter of where, and you change what? It was done k'maaseh ha'ola, and it was done also, this chatas was done l'shem ola. So then the moment that you do the first part of the malika, it should become an ola. Isn't that the same thing? And if you tell me yes, actually, Rabbi Yeshua holds that. He does not hold that. Because v'amar Rabbi Yochanan, mishum Rabbi Bina'a. No, no, now listen here, gentlemen. Kachi atza'a shel Mishnah. You see the way the Mishnah is written? Well, darn it, that's what it means. And that's all that it means. It's the way that we have it. Now, the way that we have the Mishnah, of course, is that Rabbi Yeshua only talks about the case of the Eila that was done, Lamata, Kamaise Chatas, L'Shem Chatas. He doesn't talk about the other case. And Rabbi Yochanan seems to be saying, of course, he doesn't talk about the other case because he doesn't believe in the other case. Isn't that what he meant? My love, I mean, when he was saying, Kachi Atza'a, see the way we have it written? That's it. Don't try to read in any other cases. Bit too low. Well, I don't know. I mean, you're telling me that's what Kachi Atza'a means. Maybe what he's saying is the exact opposite. You see the way Rabbi Yeshua spoke about the part of the chatas, about the Eila that was brought like a chatas? Well, that's basically the way the whole Mishnah is meant to be read. So insert those same things into the rest of the Mishnah. Maybe it means exactly the opposite. Maybe it means Kachi Atza'a Shel Kula Mishnah, and it should be exactly the same in the other direction. Rav Ashi Amar, no. It's for sure only in the direction of changing an Eila into a Chatas. You can't change the Chatas into an Eila. Why? Because Bishlama Olata Of Shasalam Ata Kamase Chatas Hashem Chatas. The moment the Chatas becomes kosher with a simen echad, because that's the din of the chatas, v'lo yavdil. You only do the malika of simen echad. So the moment you do that simen echad, even if you continue and do the next one, who cares about the next one? At that moment, it became the chatas. Masha Enkin, the case of an eila, is only an eila when you cut through the hechsher, bishnei simanim, and therefore everything was changed, and the Eila Sa'of Lamata Lesa, it certainly can't be an Eila because it's down in the bottom, so the moment that I did the Malika of a Simen Echad, it became a Chatas, but in the opposite direction, where you take the Chatas Sa'of, since first of all, when you do the Malika of a Chatas Sa'of, and you do it Lamala, remember we had the Brisa before that said Malika would be kosher on a chatas ha'of, no matter where it is that you did the malika. So then the moment that you did the malika of a simen echad, you basically made it a chatas psula because you changed the maisim. and you changed it l'shem oila. Now, when you try to do the rest of it and say, no, but see, watch this. Watch me turn a chatas into an oila. Poof! You can't do that because you're not turning a chatas into an oila. You already had a chatas that was nifsal because you did the first part of the malika. You're saying, don't look at that first part of malika. I'm about to finish the malika on the other siman. Sorry, buddy. You've already got a chatas ksula in your hands. Now you do something else. How are you going to take it and say, I am now turning this chatas ksula into an oila? You can't do that. So in the direction where the first part of the malika is all that malika consists of for a chatas, so then you took that oil and turned it at that moment into a completely kosher chatas. But the other way around, you're trying to do some kind of magic trick by popping an oil out of your pot. You can't do that because you already turned it into a chatas that was maluka, you see? So that is what Rav Avi Barava explained is the svara of Rabbi Yehoshua, and it explains why it's only one directional. The oilah that was done lamata with the mice of a chatas, l'shem chatas, the moment you do the malika of the first siman, the kana or the veshet, at that moment it becomes a full-scale chatas and it's kosher. At this point, we actually believe that when we say it's kosher, we mean that it is usable to be yotzi your chiyuv of a chatas. That's what we thought it meant. We're going to see that ultimately and understand that that's not true. But that leads us into a lot of issues because it seems to be that what Rav Avi Barava claimed is the logic behind Rabbi Yehoshua, namely that in doing all three parameters like the other, that turns it into the other, and only in the case where the other is the chatas and the original is the oilah. I want to look at that a little bit more closely. So, gufa. Omer Rav Avi Barava, Omer haya Rabbi Yehoshua, an oilah sa'of that you did lamata mechutas sikra, kemaisa chatas, l'shem chatas. The logic of Rabbi Yehoshua is that kivan shemolak basiman echad nimshechet v'naaseif chatas ha'of, it actually becomes a real chatas ha'of, which means that l'chora, you can actually be yotze your chiyuv of chatas with this bird. It's not an oilah, it's a real chatas. But the problem is that we have a Mishnah, and the Mishnah is in Kinim, and Rabbi Yehoshua, as we're going to prove, is the Tana that wrote Kinim. So that means that all of the Mishnayos in Kinim are going according to Rabbi Yehoshua. And the way Rav Avi Barava just explained Rabbi Yehoshua, one of the Mishnayot in Kinim stops working. Now, gentlemen, Kinim is not simple. So it's going to take some concentration here and some introduction of terminology to be able to understand why it is that we've got a problem with a Mishnah in Kinim, which would contradict Rabbi Yehoshua's own Shita if Rav Avi Barava's analysis of that Shita is correct. So please prepare to put on your thinking caps and turn up the electricity. So, first of all, let's recognize the different type of chiyuvim that we have with birds. So, very often the Torah will say, bring two birds, one for a chatas and one for an oilah, if you cannot afford the chatas that you're bringing. Okay, so that's, we often will find that in the case of a carbon oil of a yored, or in the case of a yoledes, and many places in the Torah where if I have a chiyuv to bring that carbon, then it's got to be one bird for an oilah and one bird for a chatas. Okay, that's given number one. The other given is, if you want to bring as a gift to the Mizbeach, you want to bring birds as a gift. They can only be olot. There's no way to bring a gift of a chatas. So if you dedicate a cane means by definition two birds. A preda is the language that we use for one bird. Preda means it's all on its own, right? It's nifrat. So if you dedicate a cane on your own, that's a lovely thing to do. You bring it as a korban, Both of them are olot. Now, when you are chayev, echad lechatas ve'echad le'ela, you don't necessarily have to say which one is the chatas and which one is the eila. You simply present the two birds to the kohen. And in reality, the way it's done is you buy a ticket, and the ticket defines what you purchase that ticket. The kohen takes the ticket. He sees what the chiyev is. He takes two birds. And with the asiyah of the kohen, the two birds are defined as your chatas and your eila, or your oilas. And this is a special din by kinim that either they can be defined at the time that you actually buy them, or they can only be defined subsequently by what the kohen actually does to them. Now, if you brought a defined kain and you hand it to the kohen and you say, this one is the chatas and this one is the oila, you're making things really problematic. Because if the kohen gets confused about which bird was which, he's going to passel both of them. Because if he brings the oila on the bottom and he brings the chatas on the top, so now he's messed up that bird. And therefore, you're going to just have to buy another kain. Now, you can see right here where it is that the shita of Rabbi Yoshua that was just explained by Rav Ada Bar Ava can easily get into trouble. Because according to the way Rav Ada Bar Ava explained Rabbi Yoshua, even in the event that the kohen gets mixed up and he brings an oila bird that you defined as the oila, and he thought it was the chatas, and he brought it lamata as a chatas, with the maisa chatas, according to Rabbi Yoshua, it's kosher. And yet we're going to see in the cases that we're about to examine that it's considered by the Mishnah not to be kosher, and it has to be replaced, and you're going to have to buy a new one. And that is essentially the peek at the complex Gemara that is about to follow. It's obvious where we're headed. Since, according to Rav Ada Bar Ava, there should not be a problem of accidentally bringing your oila as a chatas, lamata, l'shem chatas, kebaisa chatas, because then it would actually become a chatas, why do the Mishnayos in Kinim specifically say that you'd have to replace it? Now, in order for us to get to that precise question, we first go through torture. And that torture is to follow through the Mishnayos till that point. And the reason that it becomes torturous is because someone actually did their PhD, a beautiful PhD thesis on these Mishnayos. And he became, with that thesis, a doctor of mathematics and became the Rosh Yeshiva of the yeshiva in Ma'al Adumim. That was my cousin, Rav Rabinovich. And Mamish wrote his thesis on these Mishnayos to analyze the mathematics of the statistics of Maseches Kinim.
And the book was given to me by my mother, Lev Shom, for my 20th birthday. She thought I would appreciate it. The book that he wrote based on his PhD.
Wouldn't you know that actually the entire doctorate was always there with Barnea in the background? They call him Barnea Grump for a good reason. No matter what was going on in the world, there he was.
Rabbi Meish Kapel wrote a pirish, a mathematical pirish on Kinim. Does Rabbi have it?
No, I don't, but I've seen it. Okay, beautiful. We'll have to start calling you Forrest. Okay. Anyway, getting along. So let's realize what we're getting into when we start talking about Kinim. And I noticed that faces are gradually disappearing from the screen. I wonder why. So let me just tell you guys, you've got to have full concentration over here. The solution when you get to these kind of Gemaras is not to hide. The solution is to meet them face on with a full and active intelligence, as can be seen in Richie's face, with the eyes alight and enthusiastic at tangling with the complexities of Kinim. And you can take your lesson from that kind of captain that will never get you into any kind of problems with ice. Everything is warm and everything is exciting. Now, the parameters that can get confused when it comes to kinim are more complex than they look, because you need, first of all, you need to define what the basis of the chiyuv of the bird was. Is it coming as the chov, or is it coming for a nedava or a neder? If it's coming for a chov, then the kain is by definition going to be split. One is a chatas and one is an ayla. If it's coming as a nedava or a neder, then by definition, both of them are olot. So that's your first parameter. The next question is, you need to know what type of bird it is, that is to say, the species. Because even though there are two species of birds that are kosher for the dinim of ofos, both for chatas and for ola, so you could either have a tor, or you could have a ben yona. So the tor is not the older version of the same bird, but it is a fully mature tor, which is, they call them, I think, turtle doves, whatever. They look very similar, but they're different species. And the ben yona is called the ben because it's the immature, the prepubescent form of the yona. Okay, you cannot mix a king. So you can't have one bird from one species and one bird from another species. And the problem is that you're only going to be yotze your neder if you brought the same species that you stipulated. Now, the stipulation is called mifaresh. A kain that was stipulated and defined is a kain mifurash. A kain that was not stipulated is called a kain which is situma, and it's open, it's stam, and it's open to whatever's going to be done to it and will become defined as either the echad, the other echad, the chatas, if that's the way the Kohen does it, and so on and so forth. But the thing is that it is possible for it to be mifureshet or stuma in various ways. Because let's imagine a case in which two women were chayavot and they pitched their funds together and they brought these birds to the Beis HaMikdash. Now, if I mess up with the mixture and I bring the wrong bird for the wrong woman, it's also going to be possible. So I need to make sure not only that I know which is the Eila and which is the Chatas, but I need to bring that Eila for the correct woman and that Chatas for the correct woman. So then that means it's easy for the Kohen to mix things up by changing any of those by accident. And if he does that, we would have to replace that particular bird. And when replacing it, it would have to match the species. Now, if you don't remember what the original species were that was brought, and it was brought wrong, you're going to have to double your investment because you're going to have to bring both a tor and a ben yona for whatever was brought. And it gets worse than that, because if you ended up not knowing which one of the woman's birds ended up being brought in the wrong place or from the wrong species, you'd have to replace both of them with a t'nai that if this is mine, then this is the bird that I'm bringing, and if not, I am bringing this as an adava. Now, what's worse is, if originally the women defined what they are going to bring when they made a neder, and they said, I'm going to bring two b'nei yona, or I'm going to bring two torim for my gift as an oila, or I am going to bring torim and set them now aside for my chiyav, which is echad l'chatas v'echad l'ayla, and you brought instead b'nei yona, or vice versa, or you don't remember which one you brought for the nedava and which one you brought for the chiyav, and you don't remember which one was said to be brought, whether it was b'nei yona or torim, you're going to have to redo everything sometimes five times over in order to cover all of the options. So what originally was a chiyuv of one bird turns into a nightmare in terms of how many birds you're going to end up having to bring. And this, at the end of the Masechet, is given a lovely closing metaphor by Rabbi Yoshua, which we're going to get to. And it talks about how when things are innocent and simple, they just sort of chug along. But the moment things fall apart and there's no organic wholeness, at that point, you end up having a multiplicity of effects and life gets hopelessly complicated. So it serves as a lesson in life. And since Rabbi Yeshua was the one who closes the Masechet, we assume that he was the one who wrote the Masechet, because who else would get a story in at the end of the Mishnah if you didn't write it yourself? So now we know that Rabbi Yeshua wrote Masechet Kinim. Okay, so now taking all of that into consideration, let us start our foray into the wilds of Kinim. So Tashma, we're talking about a case where you've got two women and each of them had a child and each of them was chayev to bring a korban that consisted of the ikur. If they can afford it, it consists of a keves for an oila, that's what it's supposed to be, and a choice of your bird for a chatas. But if you can't afford the keves, then you bring one chatas and one oila from the birds. Now, we have two women over here, and we'll call them A and B. Okay, so we had two poor women, Mrs. A and Mrs. B, and what happened is that Mrs. A had a bird, and she brought it as an oila. She couldn't afford to bring her chatas yet. Mrs. B, she had a bird, and she brought it as her chatas. And she couldn't afford to bring her oila yet. Okay, so then that means that Mrs. A owes a chatas, and Mrs. B owes an oila. Sometime later, and we'll see it's kosher to do this, it doesn't have to be brought at the same time. Sometime later, they manage to save up enough money, and they go together to bring their missing korbanas. So now, Mrs. A buys an oila, which she was missing. Mrs. B buys a chatas. I mean, sorry, the other way around. Mrs. A brings her chatas, and Mrs. B brings her oila, and they take this cane. It's two birds, and they say, this is the bird for Mrs. A's chatas, and this is the bird for Mrs. B's oila. Big mistake. Okay. But that would be called a cane that was mifurash, and its parameters are, assuming that we know what species it was, that it was a matched species. Let's call it, for the sake of argument, they were both b'nei yonah. So it was a matched species of b'nei yonah. We know that which one was the oila and which one was the chatas. And we know which woman needed the oila and which woman needed the chatas. And what the kohen is supposed to do is he's supposed to bring the chatas lamata k'maisa chatas of and identify it as the chatas l'shem chatas for this woman. And he's supposed to bring the oila for Mrs. B, lamala k'maisa oila l'shem oila. This kohen, unfortunately, he will remain unnamed, but he got confused and he did it wrong. So let's imagine what he did wrong. So if you had the chatas lezo and an ola lezo, and the kohen, by mistake, he brings both of them lamala. Okay, so then if he brings both of them lamala, then the ola was kosher, which means that Mrs. B's ola was kosher, but Mrs. A's chatas is not kosher because she brought the chatas lamala michuta sikra. So that's bad. Suppose he brought both of them lamata. Well, again, Mechza kosher, umechza pasul. In this case, Mrs. A's chatas is kosher, but Mrs. B's ola is not kosher because it was brought as a chatas, and it was brought lamata. Suppose he brought half of them above. One of them above, I'm sorry, achas lamala, and achas lamata, and he doesn't know which one. So then, both are pasul, because since he lost the identification of which is which, what might have happened is that he brought the one that had been miyuchad, since this was a mefurish cane, the one that was miyuchad as a chatas could have been the one that was brought lamala, and a chatas that you bring lamala, kamaisa oila is pasal. And he might have brought the oila lamata, which would have made the oila pasal. So, because of that, they're going to have to replace it, and therefore Mrs. A is going to need to bring another chatas, because you're allowed to bring a chatas, remember, since it's not put on the mizbeach, you're allowed to bring a chatas mi tzad ha-sofik. It can't be eaten by kayanim, because it might actually not be a chiyav chatas, but in order to be yotze, she is going to go ahead and bring it just in case. And Mrs. B, who's got to bring an oila, goes ahead and brings an oila, and she makes it tonight. If my oila was already brought by the kohen the first time, so then I am giving this as a present to the Beis HaMikdash as a single oila, which you can do. And if not, then this should be, if he messed it up, then this should be the oila that I was bringing for my chayva, for my leida. And the kohen brings it with that condition. And that way she's yotze, milman efshar. Now, here's our problem with Rabbi Yoshua. Because if what Ravana Bar Ava said is correct, let's even assume that the oila actually ended up lamata. And you claim that means it has to be replaced. But why does it have to be replaced? Why can't we say that according to Rabbi Yoshua, that oila turned into the chatas, and definitely Mrs. A, who needed to bring a chatas, was yotze terchiev, because even if it was the oila, it ended up becoming a chatas, according to Rabbi Yoshua, by being brought lamata. And therefore, why would it need replacing? Says the Gemara, what are you talking about? You can't use someone else's oila as your chatas. Where did Rabbi Yeshua ever say that? Rabbi Yeshua said, if it's the same person's bird, then it becomes his chatas. You can't take the other woman's chatas as your chatas because it was an oila that turned into a chatas. That part is true, but it's not your chatas. So, Imer Diomer Rabbi Yeshua b'chad gavra. Rabbi Yeshua was only talking about the same person's bird, betray gavri niomer. Well, he never said that someone could be yotze with someone else's bird. So that's definitely not a kasha. All right, I'll bring you a more complex case. And over there, you're not going to be able to get away with a simple answer like that. Let's talk about another Mishnah, which is more complex. You start off with the same case. You've got these two women. They came into a little bit of money. So now they're paying up their missing chatas and their missing oila. And yes, each one gives what she was supposed to get. So Mrs. A still owed a chatas. And it turns out that Mrs. A, meanwhile, ended up having another baby. And now she has to bring another chov. One is a chatas and one is an oila. So that means Mrs. A has to bring two chataot and one ola. Now Mrs. B, who still owed an ola from her original birth, also had a baby, and now she's got to bring two olot and one chatat, right? So what do? They go together and they buy three kinim at the kinim store. This was in Diagon Alley, and it was easy to pick out three kinim, which they bought together, and that way they each one are now going to have one cane in which one of them, meaning Mrs. A, one of them has got her chatas, Mrs. B has her oila, and then they have a separate cane which belongs entirely to Mrs. A, and another cane that would be Mrs. B. Okay. So now, they left one of the brand new kinim as a kain stuma. They didn't say anything about it. They had those two birds in a box, and they said, okay, the kohen will see which one it's going to be brought for and which one is going to be brought as. And then they took another box with two kinim, and then they said, this one is the Ayla and this one is the Chatas, but they did not say which woman's it belonged to. So it was only partially a Kain Mefureshet. So again, they have one Kain that is completely Stuma. I don't know if it's a Chatas or an Ayla. They have one Kain which is an Ayla for one and a Chatas for another. And they have one Kain which we know which bird is the Chatas, and we know which bird is the Ayla, but we don't have any particular owner, and therefore if the Kohen would have messed up who the owner is, it wouldn't be a mess up, because remember, the definition of the Kain comes, if it isn't at the moment of purchase, it comes through the Kohen's actions, and therefore by definition, it will be kosher. Now, that's the case. So you have a separate Chatas and a separate Ayla, and you have a separate two-bird Kain, which is Stuma, and you have a separate two-bird Kain, which is Mefureshet, but it's only Mefureshet in terms of which is the Chatas and which is the Ayla. So now, the Kohen goes ahead, and what he's supposed to do, he's supposed to take the first two and bring one as the Chatas for Mrs. A and one as the Ayla for Mrs. B. And then he should bring one Chatas and one Ayla with that second Kain, and he shouldn't define either women, because that's open between the two of them. And then the third have to be brought, the correct one for the Ayla, the correct one for the Chatas, but without defining the woman, because they bought it together, and it would go to whoever it was that it was supposed to go to. It's not the Kohen's business. Therefore, that's what he should have done, but he didn't. And what he did was, he thought that these were all matanot to the Beis HaMikdash, and that they were all olot. And because of that, he brought all of them lamala, thinking that these were nidarim. So then the halacha is that half of them are kosher, because all of the olot are kosher, but all of the chataot are pasul, because it was a chatas that you brought as an ayla, and a chatas that you bring as an ayla is pasul. So then what happens? Each of these women have to assume that their chatas is kaput, and so the same Mrs. A is going to still have to bring her two chataot, one for the original birth and one for this birth, and Mrs. B is going to still have to bring the new, for the new birth, she's going to have to bring her chatas, but her old Ola and her new Ola is fine. That's what happens if they're all brought lamala. Now, suppose the Kohen thought that these were all chatata of, and he brought all of them lamata. So again, all of the chataot are kosher, but all of the olaot are pasul. And so each of these women end up having to bring the same number of olot that they needed to bring originally. So again, depending who it was, two for Mrs. B, one for Mrs. A, that's how many olot that they were chayav. But what about if he brought half of them lamala and half of them lamata? And he took each one of these kinim, and he thought that they were all kinim of a chatas and an ayla, but none of them would be kosher unless it wasn't defined. But in this case, there was only one kain setuma, because the other kinim were defined. The first kain was defined totally. This is a chatas for Mrs. A, and this is an ayla for Mrs. B. And the last one was defined, this is a chatas and this is an ayla, even though I didn't say it's for Mrs. A or for Mrs. B. It's only one of them was totally left undefined. So the undefined one, that's great. You did half of each one lamala and half of each one lamata. That's what you were supposed to do, because this was a kain setuma, and therefore this one is kosher. And they get to split it, because they both had bought it, but neither of them are going to get credited for either of the others, because since we know which was the Ayla, we know which was the Chatas, and it might very well have been flipped, so then you can't rely on it, and they're going to have to buy those karbonos again. Now, here's why I think that this runs against Rav Ada Bar Ava. Because the only one that the Mishnah said is kosher was the one that was satum. But the one that was mefurash is totally not kosher. But why? Because remember that over here, it's one person who would own it. And even though the ola is pasul, I understand that it's pasul as an ola, but according to Rabbi Yoshua, the way Rav Ada Bar Ava explained it, it was, at the worst case, it was an ola that was brought lamata, l'shem chatas, kemaisa chatas, and what's the din? Rav Ada Bar Ava says it's a kosher chatas. So why does this woman have to replace the chatas? I understand she has to replace the korban that is missing, but certainly she doesn't have to bring a chatas, because no matter which one was brought, it was a kosher chatas. Huh. You see, Rav Ada Bar Ava was wrong. Now, if you're going to tell me, what do you mean Rav Ada Bar Ava was wrong? Rav Ada Bar Ava was explaining Rabbi Yoshua. How do you know this mishnah is going like Rabbi Yoshua? V'chi tema hodolok Rabbi Yoshua. Ah, you forgot the little story at the end of Kinim, which proves that it's Rabbi Yoshua who wrote Kinim. I just want to remind you, could you actually consider for a moment that Kinim has a Mishnah that was not said by Rabbi Yoshua? Let me tell you, the super duper Mishnah and its end, this is the closing Mishnah of Maseches Kinim, which is there to drive you totally insane. It's not needed in order to prove the Kasha. We now understand the Kasha. The Kasha was relatively simple. It's the next Mishnah that is calculated to make you insane, and it's brought only because we want to get to the end, in which Rabbi Yeshua says, you see, when things are simple, life is easy. But when you allow chaos in, oh my God, things get very complicated. All right, so to reach that point, which proves that Rabbi Yeshua is the author, we're going to get dragged through the glorious mud of the last Mishnah. So here goes. Come on, guys, put a smile on.
The birds were created from the rakat.
Oh, excellent. V'chi tema adolok Rabbi Yoshua, what are you going to try to tell me? This doesn't prove anything about the shita of Rav Ada Bar Ava, who was only talking like Rabbi Yoshua, and this is not Rabbi Yoshua. You cannot deny that it is Rabbi Yoshua. Look at the closing Mishnah of the Masechet. Tashma. So here, we have our last Mishnah. And it says like this. A woman says, Harei alai kain im eled zakar. If I have a boy, I am going to give a gift to the Beis HaMikdash besides what I owe for my birth. I am going to give a gift of a two birds, as, of course, can only be a gift of Olot. So let's say she has a boy. She brings two kinim. One of these kinim, which both are Olot, are there to be Yotze her neder. One of these kinim are there to be Yotze her chova, in which case one is a chatas plus an oila, and the other is an oila plus an oila. Now, she hands it to the kohen. And he is basically, she takes these four birds, three of them are supposed to be olot, and one of them is supposed to be a chatas, and that's exactly what he should be doing. He should be bringing three lamala, kamaisa ayla, and so on. And one, which is the one that she owed for her birth, one of them was a chatas. But this Kohen didn't do that. What he did was, he thought that they were both for yoldot. And so he did two of them lamala and two of them lamata, and he never asked why he's doing that. And he thought he was bringing, basically, he thought maybe she was also a zava, or he thought that she had brought, had a previous leda, whatever. And he brought them both as the chiyuv of her chatat. So then she has got a problem. But her problem is not very serious. All she needs to do, because all she's missing is the oila that was brought lamata, so what she has to do is bring one more bird. And that bird she brings Lamala, because the first Chatas Ela was correct. That was what she owed for the Leda. And the second Chatas Ela was meant to be an Ela Ela, and therefore it's missing one of those Olas which was brought as a Chatas, so she needs another Ola. So that's wonderful. So she goes ahead and she says, this takes the place of an Ola that I owed, and it is a gift. Okay. Now, all of that's true, but only if we can have the simplifying assumptions that the two kinim that she gave to the Kohen were both the same. So they were either B'nai Yonah, or they were Yonah or B'nai, they were Torin, or they were B'nai Yonah. We know which they were. But how about if there were two different meanings? So in other words, one was B'nai Yonah, a Cain, and the other one was Torin. What happened then? And the Kohen doesn't remember which one he brought first, because he thought it was the same anyway, so it doesn't matter. But the truth is that the one that he brought first, that was the one that he would be Yotzei the Chova. Now she indeed owes an Ola, but the problem is that it has to be the same of the set. And therefore, since she already brought the Ola, the second one has to match the other one. You cannot bring your gift of a Cain, one from an Yonah, and one from Torin. So she's going to have to, in this case, replace it with two birds as a gift, and she's going to have to say, if the original bird that he brought were the Torim as a gift, so then the Tor is there to match that gift, and the Ben Yonah is there as a new gift. And if it was the other way around, then the Ben Yonah is the matching Ola to my first Ola, and this is a gift of a single bird which you're allowed to bring. So that was the first complication. Now, let's talk about it if it gets more complicated. Let's say that she was also Pirsha Nidra. When she made that promise that if I have a boy, that I am going to bring a cane, she said what the cane was. She said, if I have a boy, I'm going to be bringing two Torim. Well, is that what I said? Or did I say, I'm going to bring two B'nai Yonah? Oh, heck, now I don't remember what I said. So now, she had said what it was going to be, but she doesn't remember what it was that she had said. So now she's going to have to actually bring, instead of two Olot, she's going to have to bring four Olot, because assuming everything else goes well, because she's going to need to be Yotzer Neder. In order to be Yotzer Neder, she needs two B'nai Yonah and two Torim. Okay, so then she's going to have to add, in this case, if she was Mefarish, she's going to need to bring three more Predin, all of that of Olot. And in that case, where things didn't go well, because when she brought the two to the Kohen, he made the mistake and he offered everything as a Chatas Ola Cain, thinking that they were actually Chiyuvim for Leidais or for Zivais. So then the first that he brought would be what she owed for her Chova. The second one was towards her Neder, but she doesn't know what that was. So then she's going to have to bring three more birds. And that's assuming that she not only forgot which it was that she said, but even though we don't know what she said, at least we know what it was that was brought. So if the Kohen knows what was brought, so then the bird from the second Cain, whatever type it was, counted as a first Ola, and she has to only match one Ola with that type and two Olas from the other type, and that way she's covering all of the chances of what she might have messed up. But that's all assuming that it was Mimin Echad. But how about if they were Shnei Minim? If they were Shnei Minim, so now we don't know which of the original was brought first. So she has no idea whether she already brought one of her chiyuvim from the Cain type of Bnei Yonah or the Cain type of Torim. She knows she brought one of them because he only messed up one, but she doesn't know which one it is. So now she has to bring two olot from the Yonim in order to make sure that she's got her neder taken care of, and two olot from the Bnei Yonah in order to make sure it's covered, because she can't count on the first one at all because she has no idea which one she would be able to match up to it, and she doesn't know which one had been brought for her. So because of that, if it's Mishnei Minim, she now needs to bring four different olot. But it gets worse. We can make it more complicated by also saying that she was kovaat her neder. Now, being kovaat her neder adds another complication, because not only did she say, and now she doesn't remember, not only did she say what species she's going to be bringing for the neder, she was koveya that whatever it is that she's bringing for her chova has to match the same type. Oh my gosh. So then that would mean that she has got to bring the oila of the same type that the chatas was that she brings for her chova, together with the two olot of the same that she said she's going to bring. And that's not a problem. The problem here is, however, that
Something just changed in the sound. Did something turn off?
Yeah, I suddenly got that your default mic has changed. I don't know. But you can hear me okay?
No, now it's better.
Weird. Okay. Sorry. So now she makes it more complicated, and she brings the whole thing to a coin, and he messes it up again by doing everything Mechzelamala, Mechzelamata. So now she has to bring five more birds in order to have the Oila biyotze, assuming that they were all from the same species. But if they were from two different species, then she has to bring six more birds. I think we're probably going to have to wait to finish this because it's very, very late till tomorrow. But just let me read the last piece of the story that proves that it's Rabbi Yoshua. So now we understand what the kasha is, and then we can get ahead to the answer to Rav Hada Bar Ava. Om Rabbi Yeshua, yep, that's what they say. When things are holistic, they're very simple. So let's say you've got a ram, and this ram, which was the ram that was brought as the Yitzchak of Avinu's Korban, you've got a ram. Now, a ram is just pretty simple, and it only makes one sound with its voice when it's alive. Okay, so organisms are simple, but once you start taking it apart, and now it's dead. It's no longer an organism. Now, instead of having one voice for the opera, it now has seven different voices because it's got its two horns. It's kishumet kolo shiva, as the Mishnah explains. It's got seven different voices because you've got shtei karnav become shtei chatzotzrot. So now, before you had one voice, but you've got the two horns, and those two horns can now be different trumpets or shofarot. You've got the two long bones in the thigh. Those make beautiful Indian flutes. Shokav lishnei chalilim. Now you've got your percussion section. I see that Naftali's already planning on buying a ram. You've got your percussion section that is made from the skin. So the oro goes to the tof. And now the me'av, that goes for the navel, the navel. They usually translate navel as a lyre, though it's not quite clear. But anyway, those are used as the actual resonating boxes that you use for the navel. And now the intestines make excellent strings for string instruments, so we use them for kinorot. And some say, and you also turn its tzemer into Tcheles, which, of course, the whole discussion, what does that have to do with making another voice? But we'll wait till we get to Kinyan to discuss that. But anyway, who would get away with telling us this little mushel at the end if it's not the author? So therefore, it's clear that Rabbi Yehoshua was the one who said it. And here Rabbi Yehoshua is saying that the chatas, the oila that was brought as a chatas, is not usable as a chatas, even for the same person. Now what are you going to say? Answers the Gemara. Emar the Amar Rabbi Yehoshua la'apuka mide mi'ila. What did Rabbi Yehoshua say? Rabbi Yehoshua said it's a kosher chatas. That's all he said. He doesn't say it's kosher as the chatas that was coming to be mechaper, did he? Did he ever say l'mesikle l'chova? What, he said you can use this chatas as a replacement for the chatas of chova, even though it was meant as something else? He never said that. He just said that it keeps all of the parameters of a chatas, therefore is okay for achila, and if that's the case, it becomes the only example of an abstract chatas, in which it's not coming for, in which an individual could bring. So it's basically similar to the idea of a chatas nachshon, but it doesn't have any particular function. And that's because it's a chatas ha'of that isn't put on the mizbeach. And therefore, it matches perfectly Rabbi Yehoshua, and that Rav Ada Bar Ava said all that Rabbi Yehoshua was saying is that it's a kosher chatas, and indeed it is. But it doesn't get you out of any chiyuvim that you have, and therefore the Mishnah here in Kinyan takes for granted it's going to need replacement by a usable chatas for your chovah. We jumped ahead to the end so we could figure out how we know that Rabbi Yehoshua is the author of the Sechet Kinik. That allowed us to ask the Kasha on Rav Ada Bar Ava. Let me just get in and fill in that last case that we had, because the last case was a little bit complex. You remember how many different elements there were that we had to take into consideration. So we had the Kain Stuma, and we had the Kain that was before Eshet, and we had the Kain that was for the Chovah, that was a half of one's woman's, woman A, and a half of woman's B, and we had additional complications. The additional complications were that she had been kovat originally what min she had wanted to bring the netter for, and then to make it even more complicated, she had linked whatever it was that she had made the netter for, the type of species, to the chova that she was going to bring, and then just to add a little bit of icing on the cake, the Kohen doesn't remember at all what he did, and he doesn't remember which came first, and he doesn't remember which minim he brought. So, oh my gosh. So we were really in trouble with that last case. So now, let's just go over the last piece so that we have every last aspect that could have made a difference to the case, and we messed it up and turned it into a suffix. And that's what led, of course, to Rabbi Yehoshua's comment at the end, that life gets more complicated as it gets more chaotic. And life itself, of course, is the ultimate construction of some type of holistic thing out of chaos. Death starts the process of chaos back in again, and everything falls apart, and then we end up with more than we had in the beginning. Okay, so now the last words on Amud Beis and Samach Zayin was Kav Anidra. So, in other words, we're really in trouble now, because besides telling us what it was that she wanted to bring as her nether, and, of course, that she...
We lost audio.
You lost what, audio?
Well, now Rabbi's back, yeah.
Okay. Is it back clear? Everything clear? Okay.
Oh, we just lost it like for 2 or 3 seconds. I believe everybody did too, right?
Okay. So now over here, she not only has said what it is that she wants to bring, but she was also koveya that the should be the same as what it was that she was bringing for her chova. And she brought, in fact, she brought shnei kinim, and she gave it to the Kohen, and the Kohen doesn't remember anything about what it was that was done. So then, because of that, she's really gotten herself in trouble, because she not only forgot what it was that she was going to bring her netter from, but she also said, I'm going to do the same thing for my chovah. So then that means that all of the different ones that she was chayevet to bring five, she had to bring the one that she owed for the chovah of her birth, and she had to bring two ktorim, and she had to bring two b'nei yonah, because otherwise she wouldn't have been yotze. So that means when she handed the coin over the two of the kinim that she had, that's not going to be enough anyway. Right? Now, even if everything was done properly, because she still owned the other Ola of the Chova. So she has to bring the one, and he messed that up. We don't know that she's got a kosher Ola. Now she's going to have to bring one of those to match the Chatas that was brought. And that has to match the type, whether it was Torim or Vneyonah. And she has to bring also two additional Torim and two additional Vneyonah. And then, if she netanam the kohen, but she doesn't know what it is that she gave, and the kohen went ahead, so she gave her two kinim, but she doesn't remember what she gave. And the kohen went ahead, and he did it, and he has no idea what he did, doesn't know whether he did it lamala, lamate, doesn't know what type, then she's going to have to bring the arba predin lenidra, so she's going to have to bring each different min, she's going to have to bring four of for the netter, and she's going to have to bring two for the chovah, because she doesn't know which one she owes for the chovah. And besides that, she has to bring a chatas, because the chatas was also possibly messed up. And Benazai says, no, why a chatas? She needs two chataot, because it doesn't matter. See, the question over here, this is a side machlokas, which is another complication. And that's a machlokas in kini, about what the din is if one of them is brought, either the chatas or the oila, is brought first. Does that define which one the other one's going to be, no matter what? So since it's possible over here that the oila for a chayva was done properly, in which case it was koveya what it is that the chatas was brought, so because of that, she doesn't know what that is, so she's going to actually bring two chatos, because she has to bring from two different minim. Mash enkin, the chachamim hold that only the chatos is koveya the oila, not the oila is koveya the chatos, because in that she doesn't have to bring two chatos. Okay, in any event, in this case, it turns out that she is going to have to bring seven different birds for something that was originally very simple. So she has to bring Shnei Torim, Shnei B'nei Yonah. She has to bring for her each one of the kinim that she said, and she doesn't know which one, so she has to bring both in order to be Yotze Bechlal. She has to bring one Oila, one of kinim, and she has to bring one of Torim and one of B'nei Yonah, because it could be that she was already Yotze with the other one, so she has to match it up. And fine, she makes a tanai, obviously, because she can say if she brings those two olod, so whatever it was, she'll say, if it was not for my chovah, so I'm giving it for my gift. Omer Rabbi Yeshua, and that is what ended our raya, that it was Rabbi Yeshua.